I read once of an old church in Detroit, having been laid aside for many years, no person gathered within. The front of the church was boarded up. Nobody entered this church building. It looked a downcast area. It looked grim, unswept, unforgotten. That's how it looked. But one night, something changed. One night, this church began to sparkle. One night, this church light once again lit up. Parked cars traveled along the streets. Sound of gospel music once again filled the air. What was dead had been abandoned has come once again come to life. I think we've all seen people like that. Once empty in sin and despair. Once empty in their ways and wicked ways which are against God. But then one day, through the grace of God, having been brought out from anger, selfishness and pride, one day they have been changed. Maybe that person's you. You've been changed. Suddenly the darkness of sin is gone. And someone, as it were, has turned the lights on. That someone we think about is God, who forgives our sins, who through us having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come just as we are and come to know Him as our own and personal Savior. People having been such that were without hope, having been dead in their trespasses and sins, have been, as it were, in Ephesians chapter 2. And then look at verse 1. And you hath He quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We have sinned, but God hath made us quickened or alive. I read this poem once. It said, Christ takes each sin, each pain, each loss, and by the power of the cross transforms our brokenness and shame, so we may glorify His wondrous name. Salvation produces a change in a life that breaks the chains of sin. But we need to be different in this day and age. You see, it's not about being the same, but it's about being different. And I want this evening for a few moments to think about that thought, being different, because we are to be different. We're to be different in the things of God. We're not to be like the world. Because the Bible tells us, and look at that verse number 1, we'll go into verse 2 as well, and you hath He quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. That means there must have been a moment in our lives when we're dead in our trespasses and sins. And it says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, and according to the prince of power, of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. One day you lived in that life, in that way. But the Bible says we need to be different. Because the gospel is a wonderful thing. The gospel is wonderful. And being different is a sign of someone who's been transformed or being saved. Being different is a sign of someone of being saved. And that means they've received the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we were dead in trespasses. We were dead in sins. But one day, having trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, then in that moment, we have been made alive in Christ Jesus. Having Christ come into our lives. And I want to say this because it's true. Whenever someone gets saved, you will notice that they are absolutely saved. When they got really saved by the grace of God, their lives will be transformed. No longer will they want the world and the worldly things. They won't even have to tell you what's happened, but you'll know something's different's going on. Something different has happened in their life. You see, what it is the wonderful, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And a sign of someone being saved is someone who is being made alive in Christ Jesus. We've been taken away from a life of sin and trespasses. And we, having been trusted in Jesus Christ, are now quickened in Him. And we can say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me so great salvation. So rich, but yet so free. And the child of God must be different. Being different in this day and age. Being different, no, means that you're saved. Being different also, no, means that there's been a work of the gospel which has happened in your life. A work of the gospel which has transformed the life which you have already. And it's found in verse 8, which tells us, for by grace are you saved. That means we've been transformed through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You see, it is the gift of God that saves us. And the gift of God has transformed us. And it says, through faith, that not of yourselves. And that excludes anything man can do. That excludes what man can make up or man can decide what it should be to be salvation. It excludes our input. It places it all in Jesus Christ. Remember, as we said this morning, as Ezekiel said unto the Lord, Lord, thou knowest. So it is that the Lord only can save, not us. But being different means that we have the gospel within us. Being different means that the work of the gospel is inside us, that we know the light of the world. Jesus said He is the light of the world. This means that we too, having received Him by grace through faith, that it's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. And I'm going quickly through just this first part until I get to where I really want to get to. Also, being different is being a man or woman of the gospel. Being someone in the gospel. And being different means that we know that man, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the gospel. Look at verse number 10. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We find we are His workmanship. The man of the gospel is Jesus Christ. The people of the gospel are those that believe in Jesus Christ, having placed their trust in the Savior and having received Him, are following on in the things of God, bearing forth fruit in the things of God. And that's missing so much in being different, bearing forth fruit in the things of God, because being different means that we need to know the gospel. Being different means we need to know the work of the gospel. And being different means that we need to know the man of the gospel. We need to know Jesus Christ. But being different means that we're not like the crowd. Being different means that we're not like other people. We're told we're peculiar people. We're to be different than the world. And I want to just briefly, and I didn't read this verse, I want to read with you now, but I want to briefly, for a few moments of time, think even as we've gone already, being different. But being different means we are not like the crowd. Look with me, please, in verse 12. Just read with me, please. And at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. You see, being different means that we're not like the crowd. You see, the world, because the world has got many things going on, many attractions to try and bring people under the influences of sinful ways. The world will try and bring the believer down. The world will try and ensure that those that are unsaved will stay unsaved and will stay living in this world. You see, they trust in the God of this whole world. But we are to be different. Different because we're saved. But the world, let's give the example of the world. The world, firstly, is without Christ. Look at verse number 8, or verse 12. And that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And the Bible tells us here that those which are unsaved are strangers to the things of God. They haven't got Jesus Christ in their life. They haven't got God working upon their life. But they're strangers to God. They don't know God. They haven't got the relationship which the child of God has got. You see, we're different from them. We're not the same as they are. We're without Christ. The worldly person is a stranger. He's without Christ. He's without Christ. I'm sure you know the story of when we come to the words of Amazing Grace, John Newton. That great composer of that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, praise God. But now I'm free. He once was a slave trader. He had been, as it were, thirsty for the world. But having discovered the amazing grace of God, he never ceased to be amazed. And he never ceased to be amazed at what God can do. And that's why he wrote the words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." That's why even today, as we come along to church services, we still sing those words, "Amazing grace," because it is sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. See, those that believe in Christ Jesus are different. But those who are without Christ are strangers. Strangers. Say, preacher, what is grace? You talk about there in that word. What is grace? I believe that the Apostle Paul sums up the thing about grace, the word grace, in the verse number 7, because he calls it exceeding riches. And the child of God has exceeding riches. But the unsaved is a stranger to Christ. The unsaved is a stranger to Christ. You're gathered in this meeting this evening. And you're either one of two people. One who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and knows what it means to have amazing grace. He knows what it means to be trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He or she can say, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man could boast." But those that do not believe, those aren't different. Those that are without Christ, they're strangers to God. And not only are they strangers to God, they're strangers to God's grace. Not only are they without Christ and strangers, but you know what God says? They're alien. They're alien to God. It tells us in that verse 12 again, that at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You are not in the family of God. You are outside. You are not recognized as someone who's in the family of God. You're alien to what the things of God are. You're alien to what God's grace is to you. You're alien to things of God. You're without Christ. You're without a Savior. You're a stranger. And you're without. And you're alien to God. You're alien to God. Many people try to tell us, "Sure, God will love me. Sure, I'm a lovable person. Nobody would exclude me. How would God turn me away?" But you're not part of the family of God. You're not in God's family. How do you expect to be otherwise called as someone without Christ, a stranger? How do you expect to be called someone who's close to God when God calls you an alien? And he's calling you because you're outside of God. He says also, you're without hope. Oh, to be the person in this meeting this evening, and you realize that the Bible tells you you're without hope. In the middle of this verse, it tells us, having no hope, without God. Without God. And that in my mind, it places me to think of where the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. There's no God. People gathered outside this building this evening, they're saying that to God. No God. No God. You know what the scripture says? He says they're without hope. And that means they've nothing to hold on to. There is nothing that they can grasp onto. All is lost. All is sorrow and shame. They're without hope before a holy God. But they're not only without hope. They're without God. They're not without the God of this old world. But they're without God of heaven. And I don't want to go on like I did this morning. I mentioned to you about prayer. But I want to say this evening. If your family members are in a spiritual situation like this, that should lead you to the prayer meeting. That should send you to the prayer meeting before church and the prayer meeting on the midweek night. For your families have no hope. And they have no hope, and we're not praying for them. I don't know if you ever thought about it like that, but that should break somebody to tears. Could you imagine that God has called you to be different? But on the other side, there's those without hope and you haven't told them. And they're without Christ. Maybe that person with no hope and without Christ is gathered in this meeting this evening. And yes, you brought them to church. Praise God, I love to see people bringing other people to church. Not because it fills the pew. Do you know what I love to see? Because they care enough and they love somebody enough to bring them to hear the word of God being preached. And I love to see people gathered in for that reason, that God would be glorified. That we would see them gathered into that place because somebody loves them enough to send them to say, come with me to hear about Christ Jesus. And they're under the word of God because they're without hope. As they stand, and they're without God. And they're not saved. They're not saved. They're without God, and they're worldly. That means that they're not saved. And it tells us, read through this whole verse, it says, that at time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Without God. In the world. And that tells us that the people are worldly. They're gathered in the world. They're not saved. They don't trust in Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And currently as they live, they're lost. They're lost. And they say, Preacher, I've heard the message of the gospel before. I'm still worldly. I don't understand it. I can't grasp it. But you don't have to understand it all. You just have to trust and obey. And go through with God. Say, preacher, should I go and read the whole Bible first and then get right before God? Should I get into the Word of God? Should I look it up and find different verses and read and read and read? Yes, you should read the Word of God. But let's get right before God. And then let God teach you the Word of God. Let God teach you what the Word of God says. We don't have to understand it all. But we need to trust him. We need to trust him, and we need to obey. See, we're worldly. And we're without Christ. And sin has entered in. And I don't know if you ever thought about it, but sin's in the life of someone. It captivates them. It grows. The sin is all they know. But we are to be that people who are different. That we, having presented the word of God, would glow for Christ. That they, being worldly, would trust and obey. Because when I read this chapter, I fell in love with verse number 13. Because verse 13 gives us the great glorious confidence. It declares the confidence of those that are different. It declares the confidence that someone who has been sinning in their lives, but yet this night has trusted in Jesus Christ, and they can have the confidence of the saved, that the saved people have. Look at verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ, blood of Christ. And God opens that door. And God shows us simply here in this passage of Scripture that he declares the confidence that if you place your trust in Jesus Christ, now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes strangers or afar off from God, having trusted in him, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful message that we too can be different in Christ Jesus, because being different doesn't change the way we look. But being different changes our relationship before God. We need to be different. We need to have the confidence of the saved, confidence of the Savior. Because this verse 13 gives us all the confidence we need to know. It declares the confidence, but it also does something more wonderful. It declares the works of Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus Christ. For it said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, stop for a second, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, one sacrifice forever. He sat down the right hand of God. We need to have the confidence. We can declare the word of the Savior, because the Savior shows us that there's a price that's already been paid. The blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason for the blood is to save sinners such as you and I, that we, having been sinners in this old world, being transformed through Christ Jesus, that we can say it's all under the blood. All under the blood. See, it doesn't look good, does it, for those who are unsaved? They're without Christ. They're aliens. They're strangers. They have no hope. They're without God in the world. But having received Christ, listen to this, we are made different through Christ Jesus. We're made different. Look at verse 19. I wasn't going to look at this here, but I'm just looking at it now. Now therefore ye are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God. We were once a stranger or a foreigner, meaning not of But we, having trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, have been transformed. Having Jesus Christ in our lives, we are no longer a stranger. Praise God. He's brought us into the family of God. We're no longer foreigners. We're no longer strangers. But we're now a people in the family of the Lord our God. It says, therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We've been given citizenship in Christ Jesus. That's all through the blood. See, when we're trusting in Jesus Christ, then we know that we're truly saved. You say, how can you know you're truly saved? Say, preacher, how can you know? How can I know that it's not something else that saves man or woman? How can I know that it's not by works I get to heaven? Well, the scripture just told us that verse. And then immediately after it says these words, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Isn't that wonderful to know? That we can rest upon that cornerstone which is in Christ Jesus. That we would not have anything by ourselves, that we would say, there's victory in Jesus. Victory in the Savior. Say, where does salvation come from? It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Say, preacher, I hear that. But it's too easy. Have you ever heard somebody say that? It's too easy. It's too easy. It must be something else. I know that I need to be different. But there must be something else. It's too easy. That God would save through calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That unworthy sinners would be found Christ. I read this story once of a man called Campbell Morgan. He once lived in England. He once presented a message to people in the coal mines. As he went to the coal mines on this day, he used to talk to all the coal miners as they walked out, telling them about Jesus Christ. Having preached the word to this coal miner, the coal miner turned to him and said, I would give anything to believe that God would forgive my sins, but I cannot believe that he will, because it's too cheap. The preacher turned to him and said, dear friend, have you been working down in the mines all day? He says, yes. I was working down in the old pit. He says, tell me, how did you get to that pit? Did you pay your way to get to that pit? He says, of course not, sir. Of course not. I just got into the cage and I was pulled to the top. He says, sir, sure, sure. Were you not afraid to entrust yourself into that cage? Was it not too cheap? Turns to the old preacher and says, oh no. It was cheap for me, but it was costly for the company. For it cost them lots of money to sink the mine shaft. Suddenly, it struck upon that old miner's mind that what cost him nothing for salvation had not come cheap to God. This miner never thought about the great price which God had paid to send his son to this old earth so that he could rescue fallen humanity. Now he realized that all he was to do was to come, as it were, by faith. Because of God's grace, that miner realized that salvation is a free gift. But to receive it, we need to try and stop paying for it and start trusting in what Christ has done on the cross. You see, it's free, but it's not cheap. Salvation is free for the sinner, but for with God it cost an enormous price. It cost the Savior to come to this old earth. It cost Him to die that atoning death for our sin. It cost Him to be battered, hung upon that cross, pierced in the side. And He did it because of you and I. Oh, what a cost it was that we should be made different. But yet there's loads of people outside of this building that are going into a lost eternity. We know the gospel's wonderful. And we know the workings of the gospel. We know the man of the gospel. But yet they're worldly. And they're still in the world. And they're still in their sin. And they're without Christ. And they still need the Savior. Still need the Savior. Whenever I leave this church building this evening, I'm going to head up to Antrim Hospital. And I'm going to see a woman which, having taken a stroke, she isn't able to talk very much. But every time that I talk to that woman, she was just brought in this morning. Every time I talk to that woman, do you know what she says to me? Has my son received grace in Christ? What about my two daughters? Even though that woman's been affected by the stroke which has affected one side and her speech, she still wants to see the family one. We talk with each other, we read the scripture. She loves the word of God. But always is endued in my mind the thought of this woman in our congregation who looks at the preacher and she says, "Have my son received grace in God? Have my daughters, two daughters, been saved yet?" I have to stare that woman in the eye. Say, "Not yet." And then she says, "Please, preacher, may God make it soon." She may be old, she may be infirmed, but she wants to see those who've been saved. And now, once again, as I leave this place, I'll go over that same thing this evening. But I thank God for people who are different. I thank God for people that pray. And I thank God for saving the wretches which we are by the mighty grace which our God gives. I could go into much more this evening. I jumped over many things. But if you're outside of Christ this evening, don't go home without making things right before God. Don't go home. Make this your day where you can write down and say, as it is written down in glory, 25th of September 2016, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. You don't have to write a preacher's name down. But you want to know what you can write next? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. We serve a merciful God Child of God, you need to be different. Unsaved person, you need to be different. Let us give her all to the Lord. May we not step back. May we not step to the side. But let us go through with God. Let us say, let's Londonderry, let's this country, Northern Ireland, let's United Kingdom once again be revived. And Lord, light that, make that light up in me. May the fire begin. That I'll not just flicker for thee, but I'll glow for Jesus Christ. That no one will have to say, is that man or woman different, or young person different? But they'll know that we've been to Jesus for the cleansing blood. And that we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. You see, the Bible says there's no difference. We've all sinned. But by God's grace, we're saved. What a glorious word that is. Ephesians chapter number 2. And I would encourage people to read over Ephesians chapter 2. Not only read over it, if you can, try and memorize the words of Ephesians chapter 2. For if you look at these words, you'll be glad. Because the Lord is able to do great things, of which we shall be glad. Time is gone this evening. We're going to bow our heads. We're going to close our eyes. We're going to seek His face as we close this meeting. And I want you to think about an unsaved person or a backslidden person. If you're outside of Christ or you've fallen away from Christ, if you've gone away from your first love, say, preacher at the door, preacher, point me to Jesus Christ. Let me know more about the love of Jesus Christ, the grace and mercy. And that's why I say as we come to pray, I pray God will give you grace to come unto Him. Amazing grace. How sweet that sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but praise God. Now, I see. Scriptures tells us, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. May you reason about the things of God. But may you not only reason, but may you trust in Him. And this evening,